Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the chilly voice from north of town for your ready use for to find your local circumstances and your local announcer. That would be me, I think. Or is it the other guy? It's time now, one way or another, for the food show. And here we are once again, over 30 years. Here we are talking about food in New Orleans. A big topic. This is something that amuses and maybe amusing is not the exact word.
Delights.
It delights the way things
delights.
Are. And lest I go on another half of a monocure. A monocure? What is
wow,
that?
Wow, you're knocking it out of the park there.
No,
today.
Man, I'm telling you. And that person is Marianne.
Hi.
And she is in with us, just having strolled into the studio, and now we are here. Welcome. Good weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Hello, everyone. Post-MLK Day, did you do anything fun yesterday? I'd like to know about that.
Did
you go and have anything really great to eat?
No, I was pretty well static, just the whole day.
Last night I went to the movies with a friend. We went to see Little Women.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Well, I just have one word to say about it.
Yeah?
You like Huh?
Well, why do you...
I know it's getting rave reviews and all that, but I found it very confusing.
Confusing?
Yes, it jumped back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I had to really try and figure out what was real and what was not real. Anyway, that's my report. That's my one little jaunt for the weekend. Spent a big time cleaning up yesterday. We had a good lunch at our usual space, New Orleans Food and Spirits, where Mary Lee got the chicken... fried chicken salad, which is absolutely, without a doubt, the best fried chicken salad, fried chicken club salad I've ever seen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What made it that? Was it light?
Well, if you like a lot of fried chicken, that would be one thing that you love about it, because it looks like there are not one but two chicken breasts on it, unless these are enormous chickens. The entire top is a mound of fried chicken.
You know, with ever whom I was hanging out with over the weekend, it kept coming up again and again, and I think we did this on the program too, discussion of Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
We did that last week. We did that Friday on the show.
Well, that explains everything.
Well, we're always
everything.
Doing it because everyone's always talking about the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Isn't that amazing? That should come from out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden now it's
kind of always out there. You know, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is the big food story of 2019.
It certainly would be.
And apparently 2020, because the lines are still there. The people are still talking about it. And, you know, so anyway.
Yeah. Well,
chicken sandwiches. And now we're talking about chicken fried steak.
We have been, yeah.
Don Clement
and
went to Revolution.
Who?
Don Clement, your co-host, went to Revolution.
Yeah.
And he was talking about chicken fried foie gras.
Do you like foie gras?
Try to say that. Chicken fried foie gras.
Chicken foie gras.
Chicken fried foie gras. Anyway, that's like that thing that I couldn't say, and I'm trying to think of what it was. But anyway, I mean, you could say it, but you try to say it three times, you're really in trouble.
Here I am starting this again, and I was saying to myself, you know, we ought to just once in a while get away from the constant half food kind of stuff and actually talk about the kind of thing that we talk about on this program that we pay the most attention to, and we keep slipping into it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we'll...
Maybe it's because that's what people want to talk about, Tom.
Or maybe that's all they know how to talk about.
Oh.
Have you thought about
how elitist of you. 260-6368 is the number. If you have something fun to talk about, we would love to hear about it. You know, over the weekend, we met some friends at Oxlot 9.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to here and now air a complaint that I have about Oxlot 9.
A complaint?
I have vociferously exclaimed my love or proclaimed my love for Oxlot 9. So it's not like I don't like the place. I love the place. I love the way it looks.
Me too.
I love the food. I love brunch. But there is a thing there that annoys, frankly, the hell out of me.
And his name is Tom Fitzmaurice.
Well, that's kind of a constant. But anyway, that goes with me wherever I go, Oxlot 9 or any place else. But you can call up for a reservation and be told that you can't be seated until 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk into a dining room that is empty for the most part,
with
a couple of tables there.
One of the great considerations.
This is an extreme annoyance to me, whether it's there or not. But I find this place to be a particular offender of this. So we walk in, and there are tables aplenty, and are told that we can't be seated until 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 11:15. And so we lucked out the first time this happened, and the owner had you seated. And then this time we were not going to luck out. We went outside and started calling around to find another reservation. And there's this big, like, communal table for 6 there. And it was all set up. And I'm thinking, okay, the reservation is coming in at 11:30. But in reality, the reservation was coming in for that table of 6 at 1:30. So there was plenty of time to give us foursome that table and turn it, thereby making another $125 for the restaurant. I do not understand the mentality that would cause a person, usually a host or hostess, to turn away a party ready to sit, happy to eat quickly and leave before the reservation at the table comes, and put more money into the restaurant's coffers. I do not understand this. I see it a lot.
Well, let's explain it. You start off with this fact. You have X number of people sitting at a table. Somebody else comes in and wants that table, and you can't exactly just take the first one and throw him out onto the street. And what do you do to handle that when someone is still...
Well, I think that this is a fluid situation.
It certainly is.
And so, first of all of those tables were not reserved at the same time. They were probably on a sliding basis. So there are people who are in the dining room who are likely to leave earlier than expected, mm-hmm. and you simply shift it around like puzzle pieces.
Well,
and this, I think, is what I would expect that someone who wants to have as many people come in as possible would do. And I just, for most of that dining experience yesterday, half the dining room was empty. And I just have to marvel at that. That's all.
Well, sometimes it happens, but the trouble is you can leave it open and then give it to the first good person who comes in. Everybody's good, but but really, you never know what's going to show up there. It can be anything, over any 1 minute period, and you can't just have them sitting around empty, or else you'd have angry people like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
Anyway,
that's
a really annoying trait of restaurants, but particularly that one I find on Sunday. 260-6368 is the number, and
it's cold outside, and if you're traveling anywhere, I mistakenly was looking at Covington in another place. which is we're in Covington, Louisiana right now, and I saw some
for Covington, Kentucky,
for Covington,
maybe
something like that. But yeah. the
Tom's a frustrated weatherman. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, here's what they wound up telling you. You just you go to any
that it's cold.
That it's cold, and then you have to figure out how to get the table that's farthest away from where you're sitting, because you don't want to sit right in front of the door, do you? Or do you? Maybe you're one who does. Are you?
Around the cold? No, of course not.
Who would you? That's what I say.
Who in the world would want to do that? That doesn't make any sense at all. Anyway, 260-6368. Today is the actual official opening of Andrea's, I believe.
Is it? I think you're right.
Well, that's what you said.
I think you're right.
And
I know
the,
he would say
the
it.
Big anniversary dinner is Thursday evening. Reservations, I'm sure, yeah, are still available, 834-8583. And it's an interesting story about Andrea when he first opened and his two cousins, both of whom have gone on to other places.
Yep.
But were absolutely, those two guys and their father were the epitome of European glamour.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
But I was making up
glamour, high style, Italian dress.
I was playing an idea in my brain. It was something like elegant Italians or something like that. I didn't quite have it rolling when you finished yours, which was better anyway. So that's one way you can do it.
Well, anyway, they started in Metairie and came, well, Andrea had been here for years and years and years before, so I guess maybe on a trip back home he arranged to have
for 8 years
the backers.
For 8 years he was the executive chef of the Hotel Royal Orleans,
uh-huh.
Right, yeah. And he was there a long time. He didn't just do Italian. He did a little bit of Italian, but he did really everything. And,
mm-hmm.
Hotels back in that era really were much more elegant in general than ours are here in the same category in terms of money. But he was one of those guys. Have you ever heard the story about my meeting him?
You and Andrea?
Me and Andrea, yeah.
You probably went in there for dinner.
I didn't actually.
What happened?
Here's what happened. You're not going to believe this, the parts of this story.
Oh, you cooked with him in Atlanta.
No, almost, but
okay,
not quite.
Okay, I quit. Go ahead.
Here's what happened. I was given an assignment to write an article in Atlanta. You have that right. And the company that wanted to do this was BMW, the car guys, the German car guys. And they were preparing some sort of article, and there's some other things going on in the middle of
Escoffier?
No, it's nothing like that.
This is when they asked you to write something for their magazine.
Write something for their magazine, which was about BMWs.
Yes.
So
they thought you were a playboy, didn't they?
That's the idea they appeared to have, because I ate out every night, and I ate everywhere else. I went to all their mm-hmm. their spiffy bars,
mm-hmm.
and then the time came for me to write an article about the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there was this one guy, different from all the rest of them, who had a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
That he was serving turned out to be Chef Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'd never met him
before.
Well,
you must have been appalled by that,
no.
Buffet? Were you into your anti-buffet stance then?
No. In Atlanta, who cares?
Ah, I see. Okay.
You know, so, it was one of the strangest things. I don't know why they ever picked me to do
that.
I mean,
I wonder that myself.
Excuse me?
Well, if they were looking for a playboy,
the way that women beat up men,
verbally, certainly anyway, some of us. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Yeah, we want to.
We were talking about
this. Yeah.
What? No, you and I were talking about that off the air, but yeah, we can mention it on the air.
Yeah, I just had something come in on the email. It says here, Broussard's celebrates 100 years of Louisiana culinary heritage menus. Yeah, I knew Broussard's.
What's their 100-year anniversary this year?
It's, huh?
It's their 100-year anniversary, 2020.
Yeah, and this is, I remember when they first brought it back from the dead.
Colorful history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who brought it back? Was that George? What's his name? When they brought it back from wherever it was.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was right where it is now.
No. Okay, so your first experience at Broussard's has to do with George, what was his name?
George Huber.
Huber, yes.
Huber, H. Huber.
And that goes back to what, the 80s or when?
No, before that. He was in the restaurant business in New Orleans for a long time before that. So he was, this would have been mid 50s. I think by then they were put together. So, anyway.
Yeah, but I know that you were not there in the 50s, Tom,
because
you were three. So
I was,
did you first walk in and meet George Huber, and when did you get acquainted with Broussard's as the Grand Dame restaurant that it was?
Well,
that's totally different now, and it's gone through several iterations.
Yeah.
But
the in those days, I was beginning, or maybe I'd already passed doing it, to pay a lot of attention to the histories of restaurants because I had a liking for old restaurants. I thought they were really interesting.
Right. You really dig them, yeah.
So I was walking around, and then one day I walk in front of Broussard's, and I say, what is this? Opened it up.
Yeah, what year was
very
that, do you remember?
Very old-fashioned. This would have been in the late 70s, middle 80s, I guess.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. And George Huber was there at that time?
George Huber and his partner.
That wasn't Günter Preuss, was
Günter
it?
Günter Preuss.
Wait, Günter was already Günter in Broussard's in the 70s?
Günter and...
Evelyn, yeah.
But Günter and...
George Huber.
George Huber, they were partners.
Okay, so are you saying that Günter had Versailles at the same time that he had Broussard's?
The Versailles?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Is that right? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
No one's asked me that before, but that is the case.
I know that Günter and Evelyn had Versailles in the 80s because I went there with you. But that would have been the late 80s. So so Günter had Versailles.
Well, I remember that. That was when you told me that you didn't like foie gras.
Oh, okay. I can believe that. I can believe that.
Yeah, I can
anyway,
too.
All right. So that was a delicious restaurant, though, and a delicious
it
meal.
It sure was.
Yeah, and that was.
And you didn't drink wine either.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was Dennis. Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis was the chef over there.
Dennis Hutley. Yes.
Who was still around town.
Somewhere.
I'm not sure where.
He was last seen at the Kenner Country Club. What's the country club there? The Chateau Country Club,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, in Kenner.
Yes. Anyway,
nice guy.
Very
super
nice guy and a really great chef. And he
and
had
really
that restaurant
chef, yeah.
in Rivertown that was really, it's too bad that was as short-lived as it was. What was the name of that one, his restaurant there?
It was like four letters.
Does anyone know the name of Dennis Hutley's place in Rivertown, which is now nothing? It's just a little house that has nothing in it, which is very, very sad. It was a cute little place, though. But, I mean, Rivertown is just hard. It's just really, really hard. I mean, the only one that's doing it out there is Gendusa. And he's still doing it well. Yeah, he's got the little place. And now there's a place across the street, that bar and tap room. But the food's not as good as it is down at Gendusa. And you know who else is down there, or if he's still there? La Bella. Remember La Bella's Catering that used to be on Veterans Highway in Kenner?
Yeah, they were very busy all the time.
Very busy.
That was a
very popular
successful.
And very good. That's why it was good. And then they moved from that location to Rivertown, where they are mostly a catering operation, and they cater huge conventions, so they don't really need to have a busy a la carte business, although they do because it's good. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. Broussard's, happy anniversary, celebrating 100 years this year.
Amazing.
Happy anniversary to Andrea,
who took it over.
Is when his restaurant actually started 35 years ago, Andrea's. And mm-hmm. Fausto's has a 30th anniversary this year as well.
You know, there's an interesting restaurant.
So.
They have been part of the scene for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
very understated place in Metairie, just quietly right. does a lot of business for good Italian food.
Mm-hmm. They do. And one of their outlets, I think, stands alone, and it's the name of Fausto.
Fausto Roland and
Rolando,
Fausto Di Pietro.
And that's about it.
And their sister Irene.
Their sister was in there. Yeah. And it was, for its entire history, I always thought it was terrific.
Yes.
I've never had a bad meal
there.
It is
good. It's really good. They were really good arancini in particular.
They're,
Doug, is someone on the phone?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm listening.
Let's go. Let's go.
Mike, welcome.
Yes, Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
I know what Mike is going to say. I can tell you right now what he's going to say.
Yeah?
You tell me, because I really don't know what I'm going to say.
Oh.
Well.
I thought you were going to say that you went to Siler Bar over the weekend.
Oh, no, I haven't made it there yet. I called a couple of reasons. Comments on both of two things that you've already brought up. First, the place in Canada was Le Parvenu.
Le Parvenu, thank you. Okay.
Yeah. And that was his own independent restaurant.
Actually, Le Parvenu was there for a pretty long time.
It was there. I would guess.
I don't remember the exact time frame, but I'm sure they were there a good 5 years before Katrina, and possibly 3 to 5 years after Katrina.
Yeah, so like a total of 10 years.
Yeah, which is a pretty long time for Rivertown, you know.
You think? Well, I guess you're right. For Rivertown, it is, but it's not a long time for a restaurant, you know.
Well,
I mean,
they say one out of every
100 restaurants makes it 5 years, but if you're going to make it 5 years, you kind of make it after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Dennis got burned out. Okay.
Yes.
And what I'm basing this on is having dined there. Wait, let me get this out.
Yeah,
okay?
Go ahead.
Having dined there multiple times before Katrina, I knew what to expect. We even hosted some wine dinners over there. And post-Katrina, he, like everybody else, came back with an abbreviated menu, maybe with four entrees on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to be expected after Katrina, okay? Everybody was working bare bones. It was hard. But it never went away with that restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
He kept a very sparse menu.
Yeah.
And I think it just got to the point where he just didn't really want to do it anymore. At least, you know, I mean, there's a lot more to it when you're the owner and the chef than when you're just the chef.
And when you're in Rivertown, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's a struggle, you know.
I think he had a lot of regulars pre-Katrina. I really do. Because, I mean, he was putting out some wonderful food before the storm.
He's good.
He really was.
Always was.
Yeah, he's very, very talented guy.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, the other thing is I got a theory about your empty table syndrome.
Okay.
I think most people would resent being told at 11:30, look, I can let you have this table, but you got to be out of here by 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
I think then not only would most people resent being told that, I think that no matter what somebody might commit to up front, they're having a good time, they're drinking, you know, they're having fun. You know, they got the six tap coming in, and you're still there, and, you know, it's going to be ugly because somebody's going to be angry that the table's not available. Either the people that were given the table, and then they're going to have to be, you know, they're not going to ask you to leave. I mean, you know, restaurateurs are just not going to do that. They're not going to say, well, you got to get out of here. We got somebody else that needs this table, you know.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I've heard of it happening, but you know they don't want to do that. Trust me.
No. Indeed.
So I understand your frustration, Marianne, because I've thought the same thing. You know, it's impossible to get the time that I want, and I see all these empty tables. But I think they're trying to head off a public relations nightmare, and I think that's why they're willing to take less covers.
Well, it's a no-win situation because you have a public relations nightmare either way. Like, we're talking about this on the radio right now. And honestly, maybe it's me. Maybe I just maybe I'm an aberration, but I can be in and out of any table in an hour. Maybe I just don't enjoy the company enough. I don't know. But
gee, I know it couldn't be that.
But I mean, and we're there often enough that they know how fast we do it. So anyway,
right.
I don't know.
Okay, my fault.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good
day.
Nice
hearing from you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. It's the food show. Just a few minutes ago, we were talking about the restaurant that came out of the ones we just finished marketing.
Yeah.
And somebody or other, maybe more than one, wanted to know about the other restaurant that those two chefs put up there. And I didn't get it really fast, but I did grab it since then. The name of the restaurant was the Versailles. The Versailles restaurant, it was on St. Charles Avenue, right at Jackson.
Yeah, we were talking about the Versailles. That's where Dennis Hutley was.
Yeah, that's where he was.
With Günter Preuss,
but
yes.
Nobody could think of the name of it, so here we are. And I have it listed here as a five-star.
It was a five-star. It was really good.
Restaurant.
Dennis Hutley is a good chef.
Very
and
good
Günter
guy.
Is also excellent. So it was
nice
a really
guy.
Good it was a really good partnership. And it was a beautiful place. And it was just glamorous with a capital G, and it was quite an experience to dine at Versailles. I mean, I guess you have to live up to the name Versailles, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I once asked him, you know, what can't you do here? And his answer was, you know, I'll cook anything that you want. And I said, how is that possible? And he said, no, I can do it. Just ask me if I have the ingredients. I'll cook it for you right now. So he said, how about saddle of rabbit? At that time, nobody really had ate
for
rabbit.
Sure. Right.
But in those days, you know, we just had to wait a little bit longer, and there it was. So I said, no, you've got to be kidding. And he said, no. Went in the back. About 10 minutes later, there it was, right in front of me. And it was great, too.
It is good.
Chef Günter Preuss, he's one of the greats.
I hate to admit it, but
really
I do
nice
like
guy.
It. Yes. 260-6368. We're going to take a break and come right back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
You're back with more of the food show here on 105.3 FM HD2. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Love to talk with you about anything that's cooking you or that you're cooking or something like that. We're talking here about some chefs that just recently have been called here.
It's Broussard's. Broussard's is celebrating 100th anniversary this year.
Yeah, that's what it is.
There'll be special heritage menus, which we'll be talking about a little bit later.
Yeah. And it's, this just came in the mail today, and here it is. And we were talking also about Broussard's and how that figures into
I was asking you for
the
your memories of Broussard's. So you walked in somewhere at the end of the 70s, in the early 80s, and that's when you met George Huber, who has one of the most distinctive, hilarious quotes.
There's one more other part of this that we haven't discussed at all, and that is that between the time it was run by the Broussard family, there was such a thing, and Broussard's, and
okay, so the Broussard family owned the restaurant.
And then they were there. But then in between this was the same family that had the, along the riverfront, that great restaurant there. What was the name of that?
Elmwood?
Elmwood Plantation.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, there were quite a few Italian restaurants that were in and out of
the Broussard space, really?
Yeah, and it was in fact the family that was associated with that.
Okay, so are we talking about who was that? It wasn't Jimmy Moran.
Jimmy Moran. Well, they were associated.
Okay, all right. So the Broussard family started it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it till when?
Well, they started in 1912, I think it was.
No, it's 1920. So what we're going to do is we're going to get the whole history from them, and we can talk about it a little more succinctly. But George Huber, do you remember the quote you used to tell me about George Huber?
I don't. I think I do,
George,
but please do not put
why?
It on the air.
Why? Because he's passed away now anyway, but it's hysterically funny.
No, he was fun. He was a great guy.
He said,
in his own strange sort of way.
He said, Tom, it's one thing to hate your employees.
Oh,
you expect
that.
But when you start to hate your customers, it's time to quit.
Yep. I remember that well.
But he had an accent, and you used to do it in his accent,
which was just
hilarious. So, and I'm sure a lot of people can identify with that.
You wouldn't want to laugh at him exactly, but he
No, but I mean, I'm not laughing at him, but when you did it in his accent, it was even more funny, but just the whole idea. I mean, there's so many employers that could say that, but I mean, there's so many people that could say that who are in business, but it's hysterically funny. You know, once you turn that corner and you start hating your customers, it's time to quit.
Mm.
Anyway,
mm.
So then the Preusses and...
they had a deal with Gunter Preuss and
George Huber.
George Huber.
Okay, so he passed away, and then the Preusses had it for a long time.
And the story was whichever one made an outgoing to buy the other one out, at that moment... The first guy was required to sell it.
Oh, is that right?
Wait, so the two partners became partners,
and if one of them decided they were going to make an overture to buy the other one out, the second one was required to do it? Really?
To get it.
That's kind of unusual.
And then they had to go back and forth, you know,
the price, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. It was something to see.
When did that occur? Because George Huber passed away, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was out of it before then?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Uh-huh. Huh. And anyway, let's see. He was there. I think we're talking about the 80s, mid-80s. I'd have to look it up.
I think I met him only once. So by the time I joined the scene, it was the late 80s. And I think he probably exited stage left somewhere in there. Anyway, the Preusses had it for a number of years until quite recently, actually, although time flies. I would say it's been 5 or 6 years that the Creole cuisine people have, maybe longer than that. I'll have to ask that question, too. But then the Preusses sold out and are living the comfortable, quiet
French Quarter,
glamorous life deep in the French Quarter in their beautiful not apartment but townhouse.
Very nice people.
Very stylish place, just like the restaurant and everything else they ever did. I think Gunter, though, works sometimes for someone.
Yeah, he works for Dickey Steakhouse.
He drops in and out every now and then. He'll, like, help out here
and
there.
He's
got to be, like, 85.
I think so. And
he looks great.
He may be older than
that. Yeah, I think so, too.
But he's always kept himself in good shape.
He's a really good-looking guy. So, yeah. Anyway, 260-6368, we're just reminiscing about Broussard, spawned by an email that we received, which we knew was coming because it is their 100-year celebration, and it will be quite a celebration all year long with special culinary heritage menus. Chef Jimmy Setchum is going to have several of these prefix menus throughout the year. There'll be 5 of them to celebrate various stages of Broussard. It's going to be fun, fun, and the Creole cuisine people will pull it off for sure.
There is this thing that might cause a problem, and that is that the guys who play music in the dining room, they, every time I go over there, one of them points his finger at me, and I wind up singing.
You were going to say he points his finger and says, "Ain't no way you're singing today." Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
I can hardly contain
myself.
Well, you know.
260-6368 is the number. You should go to Broussard's, enjoy one of these menus, and have Tom sing for you.
Yeah, and
that's the only thing that would make it better.
Go to nomenu.com on the web, and you will see all the information.
No, you won't. Not yet. This is your email, Tom, so we haven't posted any of this yet, but we will in the next couple of days.
Well, I'm looking at it.
We'll post it in the next couple of days. Nomenu.com will have a full report on this, and we're going to have them on the show because it's super fun to have a 100-year-old anniversary.
That's pretty good.
The Casamenos did it last year, but in typical Casamenos style, nobody really knew anything about it. So there. I mean, 100 years is something to celebrate. So it's super exciting, and the Creole cuisine people will do it right. That is for sure. Today is also National Clam Chowder Day.
Yeah, there's something you have to figure out.
Something they get really excited about.
You don't want Manhattan style or New York.
Yeah, that does sound vile. Tomato broth with clams.
Clams. What you want is New England clams.
What's the difference in... Wait. You don't want Manhattan clams, or you don't want Manhattan clam chowder?
Either one of them.
Well, no, I mean, they're both the New England clams.
New England clams.
But one of them has a tomato base in a soup.
If they were caught in that area.
Anytime you want to talk up to the mic, Tom, be great. Go
okay.
Ahead.
Anytime you... Now you've blew my next sentence.
You know what? Every time I have an experience... Let's talk to Michael, 75. Thank you, Michael, for calling us.
Michael, come on in.
Oh, great. Great talking to y'all.
I had a great time
a couple of weeks
ago. Hello. I can't hear anything.
Go ahead, Michael.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Yeah, I just said I had a great time a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
where'd
good.
You go?
Sorry?
I'm sorry. I can't.
Oh, you had a great time when you came in to talk on the radio?
Yeah, with y'all.
That was great.
So anyway, I got a 3 Michelin star. That's the highest Michelin stars that they give. You know, French chefs, they commit suicide if they lose a star. So there's a 3, in my opinion, it's a 3 Michelin star place we went to today. And I don't know if you've been there, but it's the best I've tasted in this realm. It's called Gus's Fried Chicken. That's not a joke. It's incredible. Have you been there?
Yes, I have been there. But what are you talking about with a Michelin star with Gus's Fried Chicken?
No, don't be naughty, Michael.
It's not
my Michelin star.
Uh-huh. Oh, your Michelin stars. I think it's good. Yes, I do.
It's the best I've ever tasted. So.
Come on, really? You think so?
Yeah, it may be a lucky day. Go ahead.
It's all the rage in Southern California, and I was very surprised to see them turn up here, and I was actually thinking it was based in Southern California, but it's not. It's based in Memphis. I learned that on the show someone called. What do you think is going to happen to Gus's Fried Chicken in the world of Popeyes?
Well, on the Popeyes on Williams Boulevard, as differentiated from all the other Popeyes I've ever tasted in the world, is spectacular. It's on Williams and West Esplanade.
Really?
Everything.
What makes it so good, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's individual because some Popeyes are terrible. But this place outdoes them. I would give anything to get a franchise in Metairie for it.
Oh, you mean for Gus's? Michael?
Yes.
I am sure that you could. Why don't you contact the company? I'm sure that they would love that.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that. Mm. But one other...
Because you don't have enough to do. You don't have enough to do.
Right. One other phrase I have for y'all is Zijing Kuai Le.
Where's that?
Zijing Kuai Le. That's Happy New Year in Mandarin.
Oh.
and Thursday is Chinese New Year Day.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So the year of the rat.
So
what we're having at my house is I'm going to my five favorite Chinese places, and each one has something that they're really good at, pulling them all together, and we're going to have a great Chinese meal here at the house.
What, so you're gonna get takeout from all the 5 Chinese places that you love and bring it home? That's cool.
Exactly, yeah.
Where's that going to be, Michael?
From Tom's favorite place, the Chinese kitchen.
Okay.
I'm going to get the best pork fried rice in the history of the universe.
Okay,
and
all right.
Also the best egg rolls.
Okay.
Then, near us, there's a place that makes incredible shrimp with cashew nuts. It's called the Seven Woks. Then there's another place that makes great General Tso's chicken. And then there's another place that makes great shrimp with lobster sauce. And I'm thinking the other one. There's one other one that I need to get. But so that's going to be the Chinese New Year meal.
You're going to have a busy day unless you get Uber Eats to bring it. Okay, so, Michael, we went to your – go ahead, what?
No, go ahead.
We went to your place, Little Chinatown in Kenner.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When I came back from California, these guys picked me up from the airport, and we went over there. And I have to say I was underwhelmed. You know, it's not the same people from Dianxin anymore. They sold it to a family member.
Yep.
Right.
They, you know, it's just you get to some of those Chinese dishes.
Yeah, we'll tell you in a sec. Go ahead.
And they're so hard to keep track of. Because there is this movement from one shop to another, as you just mentioned. But it's that one I found a little harder than usual. But once you had some order put in, your order, it's unbelievable the amount of food that they give you for
a very, very, very
small amount of money. So it's worth going there. This is the...
Little Chinatown.
Little Chinatown. It's in Kenner.
It's in Kenner. We got we got fried rice, of course. Mary Lee doesn't go anywhere.
Okay. I don't like the fried rice there.
You don't or you do?
I do not. I had it once.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, it looks – it doesn't look good. It tastes okay, but it doesn't look good. Tom got the oysters and tofu hot pot.
It's funny what happens to oysters when they get boiled. It's not
oysters and tofu hot
pot. My idea.
Michael, I got to tell you, I got the duck and I thought it was terrible. It was kind of inedible.
What type of duck did you get?
I got the crispy duck.
The roasted duck?
Yeah, a crispy roasted duck.
Yeah, really. Yeah. We have a special. You are right. We had a problem with it one time, but then we told them to roast the whole duck by itself, and it came out real crispy and everything. I don't know.
It was crispy. It just was tough. It was undercooked everywhere else. I didn't like it at all. Michael, if you like Chinese food, I'm going to send you to a place that we went to last week, which I thought was mind-blowing and literally, like, mind-blowing, okay?
Right.
It's a new place called Blue Giant.
Blue Giant.
I've heard of that. Yeah, I heard that today. Tell me about it.
You have to say the three letters. You can't say Lower Garden District or you're not cool at all. You have to say the LGD, okay?
LGD.
So it's in the LGD about a block away from French Truck, which started the renovation, the gentrification of the LGD. It's about 2 to 3 blocks on the away from the city. On Magazine from French Truck by the interstate. So it's in that little complex that's got Claret the Wine Bar and a bunch of shops. It's brand new construction. It's really gorgeous. Anyway.
And you can hear it for a long, long way.
It is unbelievably spicy.
Loud.
If you don't listen to Grandpa. If you say anything to him, he's overwhelmed by the sound. So, it is loud. It is, you know, but it's not anything unusual. But the food is go and get the Dan Dan noodles.
And oh, good. I love noodles.
Oh, my gosh. It was like it. And I likened it to burning your finger, but then going back and sticking your finger there again because it was good enough to keep eating it. Your face was all red and everything.
I brought the place up today. It's the first time I've gone up to Dallas. But the next, if you want to try Little Chinatown again, this is what you get. It's called the Conch, C-O-N-C-H. Conch, they do a special sauce with it. It's incredible. So, like I said,
Conch,
your favorite, Tom.
C-O-N-C-Q. I mean,
Tom calls Conch pencil erasers.
Yeah, because they also have this terrible habit of eating oysters. They actually eat through the oyster shell. Can you imagine?
Tom, they can't help it. That's probably their instinct.
Well, sure.
You hold it against them. What?
Why not?
Tom has a symbiotic relationship with those oysters that are eaten. But
there you go.
Here's the deal, though. The conch, is, you know, you can make calamari terrible, too. You cook it too much and you can make it rubbery. But they cook it. So if you ever go back there, try that.
Okay, sounds good. You tried Blue Giant. Tell me about it. I tell you what, there's a Peking duck on the menu for $65, and I would love to go with a group of people and get that because I'll bet you it's killer. It's two guys.
That is so cool. That's what the guy talked about today, the $65 Peking duck, because usually I pay like 30.
Who was talking about that?
This gentleman, a friend of ours, at lunch.
Wait, so he got it? He got the Peking duck?
No, he didn't get it. He got it. He said he did not get that, but he loved the place, and he said that next time he goes, he saw it hanging up there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely will have to go with a group of people to eat the Peking duck because that is probably going to be great there. It's two guys who wanted to do a throwback to like 50s and 60s Chinese restaurants, only it's super hip, super glamorous, and really delish.
And really, really hot, too. Didn't you, if you have any...
Isn't Tom fun? Do you see how much fun I have with him? Go ahead.
Exactly. Is there something wrong? Excuse me.
Hello? It's so much fun to go out with you, Tom. You complain about the noise, the heat.
Aren't you complaining about me right now?
Okay. So. All right. Thank you, Michael, for calling.
Okay.
Take care. Bye. 260-6368 is the number. We are talking about all kinds of stuff. Good show today. Broussard celebrating their 100th anniversary and the 5 special menus they'll be doing throughout the year. We'll be talking more about that later. Happy anniversary to Andrea. We can say that to directly. He'll be calling in later. And the anniversary dinner at Andrea's is Thursday night.
There it is.
Yeah. And Fausto's another one having an anniversary this year, 30 years for them. And then we were talking about clam chowder and Dennis Hutley. Dennis Hutley was the chef at Versailles. And we got onto Versailles from the conversation about Broussard's, where
he was very heavily involved in something that was pretty much directly across the Mississippi River from where he was working at that time. And he was doing classes for people mostly in their teenagers. They were hooked in with the St. Charles
Streetcar?
No, not everything but a streetcar. Okay. It was crossing the river. And it took a little more. But anyway, he was involved in that, doing it for free. And he really was a terrific guy.
Yeah, he is a terrific guy. Yeah. He's a really terrific
And he's still
chef.
There, by and the way. He's not...
He's somewhere. Or he maybe just retired because...
Could be.
You know, or he just shows up maybe sometimes like these other guys who will, you know, just take it easy and then they show up every now and then for a certain event or something. But we haven't seen him in a while. And if anybody knows where Dennis Hutley is, or Dennis, if you're listening, give us a call. We would love to know how you are.
I'm going to see if we can get him maybe on the show with us.
We should get him and also the Broussard's people to talk about their anniversary.
That too.
Because that would be nice. Anyway, we were talking about clam chowder. And not much to say about that. Tom is not a fan.
I love clam chowder or clam chowder.
Clam chowder, the white one.
Not the one with the red sauce in it.
Is that the one that has the little crackers in it? What are those little crackers that you
put
on?
They're top? little crackers, and
they have a certain name to them though. What kind?
Crackers.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Oyster crackers. Yeah,
that's
there you go.
Are. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Doug. Doug is always there for us. We will be back after the top of the hour news, 260-6368. If you would like to chat with us, we'll be back in about 5 minutes to do that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.